Hi, this is Andrew Phillips. Thank you for downloading the Graymeer Church of Christ Sermon Podcast. If you have any questions or if you'd like to contact us, check out our website at graymeer.com. We'd also love for you to visit with us in a worship service. You're always welcome at the Graymeer Church of Christ.
Now, that was a beautiful song we sang a moment ago. All of those were great songs, but I was thinking about the blessings that we have from the Lord. And Hilda and I certainly count it a blessing to be able to be here tonight. And to be a part of this period of worship. And if I'm smart enough to turn this contraption on, there it goes. It's been great to see so many of you tonight, and you've been very kind in your remarks. I'm not sure I believe you in some of the things that you've said. However, I think I got the truth of it just a few days ago. In fact, last Sunday, I was holding a meeting out at that Antioch congregation out from Columbia. And Sunday night, I stopped by Kentucky Fried Chicken, and I got a little pot pie, and I was enjoying that. And however, I noticed there was a man and a woman across the room who kept staring at me. And I didn't know what the problem was until finally the man came over as they were leaving, and he said, "You'd make a good Colonel Sanders." So that probably was more accurate than what some of you said tonight, but I appreciate being able to be here, and I appreciate the elders here continuing the work in India, and Jonathan and Andrew and others, and very thankful to have the opportunity to share with you, following the biblical example of Paul and Barnabas and others as they would come back after their missionary journeys and report to the church, to the church at Antioch. And so that's what we're doing tonight. Just I want to report. I know you've already heard some things from Jonathan and Andrew about that last trip that we all made together. But this is a great part of the work that the church here is involved in. And I hope it will continue to be for many years to come. But taking the gospel to India, this is the 2017 report. Of course, we're following the Great Commission of going into the world to take the gospel. But at the very outset, I want to recognize two men who really had a part in this work beginning years ago, over 30 years ago now. Brother Willie Robinson, Dr. Robinson, and he and Kathy are here tonight. But the elders at that time had asked Dr. Robinson. He, at that time, was a deacon, later became an elder. But he had done medical mission work in Africa, and based on that, they asked him for recommendations about where Graymeer might be involved in foreign mission, and he recommended India. And then there was the matter of, well, who's going to go? And Dr. Robinson recommended Brother Charles Thigpen, and that was a stroke of genius. Brother Thigpen really did a great work, and I'm just so glad that Juanita is here tonight. You know, Charles died last month, and it was a great loss to me personally, and I know to his family, but traveled with him many, many times to India, and just wanted to recognize him for what he did. He was a young man when he began. Those of us who go now really have it fairly easy. When Charles began going, it was extremely difficult. There were times when he spent nights in the baggage room of railroad stations and various other. But he's laid the groundwork for the work that's continuing to go on today. And Charles had a great sense of humor. He would cut up a lot of the time, but he had a most tender heart. And the brethren there to this day appreciate him. One of the congregations that he helped establish was in Hubli, India. And when the brethren there found out about Charles' passing, they got together, many of them, and had this poster made, and they wanted to express to his family their sympathy and condolences to his family, which I think is exemplary of the way so many of the works in India that Charles had a part in felt. There were tears and sadness on the part of so many when they learned of Charles' passing. I will eternally be grateful to him. I was afraid to go to India the first time, to tell you the truth. Charles encouraged me to go. I said, "Charles, I don't know what to say. after that, he said we couldn't shut him up. But it was great. And I do appreciate Charles and wanted to recognize Dr. Robinson and Brother Charles Thigpen for the work they did. And Juanita, I know that he couldn't have done that without you. I was holding a meeting years ago out in one of the rural congregations here, and Brother O.C. Baxter was called on to lead the morning prayer. And in that prayer, he prayed a good prayer, very sincere, but he included in that, and Lord, we thank you for Brother Vaughn, and we thank you for his wife, because behind every good man, there's a woman with a big stick. Did he really say that in his prayer, I thought? And he did. So, Juanita, I know you didn't have a big stick, but you had a lot to do with whatever success Charles had. Not only when y'all were missionaries, medical missionaries in Africa, but his work in India as well. But as far as the work that Graymere is involved in, why are we going to India? Well, there are a number of reasons. First of all, of course, there is the commission, the great, that our Lord gave us. And then it's a place where the field is extremely white unto harvest. And there's already been a lot of groundwork done, so we don't have to go back over and lay the foundation. That's been done now. And there are so many local preachers that are capable and can carry on that work in a fine way. And then we're talking about a country that's the second most populated country in all the world. So there are a great many opportunities there. And then I think it's equally important and something maybe we don't often stress, but a congregation like Graymere can do it. There are many congregations that could not financially do what Graymere is able to do. But Graymere can do it. And there's an old saying, ability plus opportunity equals responsibility. And Graymere has certainly taken hold of that and continues to do that work. So it is a good place. And I know Graymere's involved in other places as well, and that's wonderful. And hope they'll continue to do so. We had a good team. I really enjoyed being with Andrew and Jonathan on this trip. They both just did outstanding work while we were there, and not only were they with us, but these two ladies, Jackie Hill, and she's here tonight with her husband. They are members at Barry's Chapel, and they've put a great deal into this work. And Linda Smith and her husband, Waylon, here tonight, and they're from the Woodson Chapel congregation. And these two ladies have just done marvelous things, teaching ladies and working with various congregations over there, not only with their time, but finances as well. And then in addition to that, there was an elder from the Foothills congregation in Searcy, Arkansas. Last year, Brother Dennis Widener, one of the other elders there, was on the trip with us. And this year, Brother Larry Noakes, again, just a great team member and did great work. We got there on a Friday evening. We started out early Saturday morning. We went to one of the preacher training schools where a lot of good work is going on. I wish I had time to go into detail about each of these, but they do have, in this particular school, 39 students, and they're sitting at the feet of really outstanding teachers, primarily Brother David Sagayam, and these men are going to share the gospel with a great many others. It's like throwing a pebble in a pond. The ripples just keep going out. That same day, we went to this new little church building where there was a ladies' class going on. This is where they used to meet, in this little thatched roof building, but they're very happy to have a new building, and had a lot of ladies there present that day, and Linda and Jackie led the teaching and classes with these ladies that day. And this was out in a very rural area. You just see the dirt roads there where we were, and it always amazes me how many they can get in these little three-wheel carts. They may be in all different directions, but they get in there. But they had a house full that day of the ladies. From there, we journeyed on to another village. Brother David Sagayam is on the bike. He's leading the way. And Brother Peter Solomon has set up some satellite schools from the National Bible College where they're teaching some basic fundamental matters. And in several villages, he has set up these schools, and this is one of those places, and we visited there that same day. I don't know what I'm doing here with this. Another thing that Linda has really been involved in, by the way, the men there you see in the blue shirts, they're the students in this extended school that's going on there. But Linda works with Healing Hands, and there are individuals through that organization that I think the wells cost something like $2,000, and people have contributed money. And in these little places where they need water so desperately, so this was a brand new well and pump that they had set up, and the people were very happy to have that. They also have a new little church building in this village. You have to go up this dirt, crooked hill to get there, but once you get to the top, there's a fine little church building. And sometimes brethren say, well, why do we need to put money, or why are we interested in church buildings? Well, when you stop and think, folks, how many times our brethren in India have been driven out of rented halls. They may meet there for a few months, maybe a few years, but eventually they're going to be driven out. And some of these places have had to go to four or five different places. And so it really is an advantage if finally they can have a place that's theirs and they're not going to be driven out. And it makes a difference in the community and the way people feel about the church. The denominations have some very nice church buildings, so it is important for them to have a good place to meet. And this is a brand new little building, and they have to climb that hill to get to it, but this is the preacher at that little congregation. And again, these are the students in the extended Bible school from NBC, and these men likewise are being trained to be gospel preachers. So that was a pretty full day, and it really wasn't over late that night as we were making our way back to Chennai, Madras. We stopped here at this building where Brother Daniel is the preacher, and it was late at night, but there were still several who were able to come together. And this is the building just during the daylight, just to give you an idea. But also wanted to show you where they do their baptizing. I've often thought we have such a convenient way of, you know, we've got a heated baptistry here, we've got clothes for everybody, and you wonder sometimes, why won't people respond to the invitation and be baptized into Christ? These people really want to be baptized. And can you imagine going down those steps that far down into that place? But that's where they do some of their baptizing. Then Sunday morning, we got to back to Chennai, and this is the really, really fine church building there in Chennai. It's amazing when you think back, and maybe some of you can remember when the church here in Chennai began with Brother Peter Solomon in his home with his family. Gradually, others started coming, and then they built a building with no walls, just a roof. And later, they had a little bit better. And then this is about the fourth building they've had, and It really is a nice building, and will seat something like 1,000. This was Sunday morning. They were nice to let me preach that morning. Andrew, I think, preached the next Sunday morning. But it'll seat 1,000. I don't know whether there were 1,000 there, but pretty close to it for their Sunday services now. But to think of that growing from just a man's house, he and his family. And it's probably the largest congregation, at least that I know of, in India. Sunday evening, the lectureship began. This was the 35th annual lectureship of the Nashville Bible College. The theme was 2x2, or two is better than one. And so each of the lessons had to do with something along that line. And Jonathan on Sunday night presented his lesson on David and Jonathan, which was very appropriate for Jonathan, to preach on Jonathan. But he had a good lesson and that night, and mine was Caleb and Joshua. Larry Noakes was given a title, but they changed it just before he got up. and you never know what's going to happen. And then Monday, as the lectureship continued, Andrew's topic was 2x2, and you know, as always, he does an outstanding job in his lessons. And in fact, this is when he was speaking that Monday, and that really is not all that were present. That auditorium goes on back, and there are a lot of them that are not pictured in that particular setting. And so that was an exciting and good time as well. Preachers come from many parts of India. Some of them travel all night long by train in order to get there. And these are some of the preachers that we work with in India. Not all of them, but all of these are capable men, sound, seasoned gospel preachers. I'm not just saying this out of any false humility. It's more out of shame. But so many of these preachers really do put me to shame in their work ethic, in their knowledge, and what they accomplish. They're good men. They're working hard. And of course, one of the main things that this congregation, Graymere, is involved with and supports is the National Bible College. This started out as a men's training class, and it grew into a school situation and then into a college. And now there are students that are coming from Nepal, from Bangladesh, from Myanmar. Boy, when I do push it, it goes, doesn't it? Myanmar used to be Burma. So there are students coming from many places. And then I think Jonathan maybe pointed this out earlier. But when you think about what's being accomplished by the National Bible College, they've already trained over 400 gospel preachers. And those men are preaching not only in India, but they are preaching in Burma, in Bangladesh, in Nepal, and in India. And just think, it's really an outgrowth of Graymere. Now, there are others that help with it, but Graymere is the primary one that underwrites this work. And this means that there are preachers going out into several different countries and reaching so many people. Of course, there's the college classes that they have there. And this year, Andrew and Jonathan taught in the college. And as Andrew said, that's always an enjoyable time. We did have graduation this year, as we do each year. They can only take about 50 students at a time. And, of course, that's divided up into three or four different classes, years. But that's good. Brother Peter Solomon. Brother Solomon has been here on numerous occasions. He's just undergone very serious surgery. He had colon cancer, and a large section of his colon has been removed. And this is when he just got out of the hospital. And this is the little room he lives in. He has his bed there. Across the room, he has a desk that he works from. He doesn't have much worldly goods, but he accomplishes so much. And he gave Andrew, Jonathan, and me, and maybe some others, a certificate that you see here. And what this allows us to do is to perform weddings and whole funerals in India now. So we are official. But that's what he was giving us there. But it was good to see Brother Solomon. Well, the next day, next morning, we started out early to Tripati. Tripati is where they have probably the largest Hindu temple in India, supposedly the most visited religious site outside the Sistine Chapel in the world. Of course, we had to stop along the way. There are not many places to stop along the way, but we did stop here to get a snack and some water and just to rest for a few minutes, and then we were on our way again. Transportation is a lot better than it used to be. It really is, Andrew. First time you see it, you don't believe that, but we finally got to the city, and another school is going on there directed by Brother Vijay Kumar, who's another outstanding man. And they had a big banner there. I don't know how he did it. It had all of our pictures on it, and we had a graduation there as well for the preacher students. They had several there, family members and others, come in for the graduation. And they always want to honor you, and this is their way of doing it with the lay. Andrew getting his on that occasion, and Brother Larry. And then had opportunity to speak to the graduating class. And then Jonathan passed out some of the certificates, and Andrew passed the certificates out to the graduates as well. So we all had an opportunity to be a part of that. And in this particular school, these are some of the preachers that are being trained. So again, another great work that's going on of spreading the gospel. This is where the school meets. It's an upstairs room, and Vijay Kumar was showing Andrew some of the posters and charts on the wall, but this is where the classes meet. And while we were there, there was a baptism that day. There's a baptism right outside of the school. Then this is always kind of touching. This couple that you see in the upper right-hand corner, they go to a leper colony every day. There are about 45 children of lepers that are here. And they go to be with those children. They'll give them a little snack. You can see what the snack is that the little girl has is an egg. Not Twinkies, or that they give them an egg. But it's pitiful to see the lepers in India. It's still quite, I don't know, rampant may be too strong, but there's a lot of leprosy still in India. But it's commendable for this couple, this Christian couple, to help those children. This was an exciting day. This is a girls' school. Actually, it's run by the Hindu government. But Vijay Kumar's wife is the principal of the school. And therefore, Vijay Kumar, who is a gospel preacher that we work with, goes there quite often, and they have given the girls Bibles. They teach them lessons. In fact, while we were there, the girls enacted the story of the Good Samaritan. So they're getting those principles, Bible principles. But when we got there, there were about 200 girls in this school, and they were all lined up here, and there was a girl there with a big drum. You'd have thought somebody important was coming in. She was beating that drum to beat the band, and then all the girls were lined up there for us to march through. And as we went through, they would give you a rose. Andrew had a handful of roses by the time he got to the end of that line. But they were clapping all the way, clapping, and the drum was beating, and it was something. These are some of the faculty members that are there, and they were very kind to us as well. And Linda also has made it possible for them to have a well. They needed water at the school. It was kind of a critical situation. And I believe the Walnut Street congregation in Dixon was behind this particular well. But Linda was the one, Linda Smith, my cousin, who was with us, who was in charge of that. And so she was cutting the ribbon for the new well that day. Water's so precious over there. They don't have it in their houses, most of these people. So they have to come to a well, and they bring their bucket, take it back to their house. So it's really a big deal to have a well in the community and for people to use. But as I said, there's some 200 girls in this school. They're all well behaved, and they in the schools they all have the same uniforms, so they're all dressed alike. I don't know, Andrew, did you show the picture where they were saying "Welcome, Graymere," or "Hello, Graymere"? He was quite the rock star. they all liked Andrew. This was touching to me. Hope you don't mind me showing this, but you know, our son died as I was coming back from India last year, and got word that Johnny had died, and Linda and Jackie and the Foothills Church in Arkansas, they got together and they funded a sewing center for these girls, and they're teaching them. They have to leave when they get, I think, through about the 10th grade. And so to give them some skills and trades, and all of these sewing machines were set up, and so they call it Johnny Sewing Center. And obviously it touched me, and I was very appreciative of that. And then they wanted to give Linda and Jackie a makeover, and they did. And they really dressed them up. I'm not holding that on there on purpose for y'all. And these teenage girls. We were going to the next village in a car, and these three girls were in the back of it, and they sang all the way. They said, "You want to hear us sing?" And of course we did, and they had beautiful voices. But the little girl there on the be on the right in the picture, I believe. No, on the left. She was just an orphaned child. Nobody knew who her parents were, didn't know when she was born. But Vijay Kumar, that I've been mentioning, he and his wife took her when she was just a baby. They made up a birthday for her, gave her a name, and they have raised her. And can you imagine how that has changed that child's life? And she's just really a sweet girl now. But others have done similar things to that. And then we were involved in a wedding. I think I told you one time I did a wedding over there. I really don't know that they're married because I didn't understand what they were saying and they didn't understand what I was saying. But this time we were all a part of this wedding. And I think Andrew mentioned this. We were a little concerned that, you know, we felt like we were kind of butting in the way for this wedding. And they said, oh, no, we postponed the wedding until you all could get here. Why in the world? But we all had a part in it. Andrew and Jonathan both read scripture, and Larry and I spoke a little bit, and then Linda and Jackie lifted the veil of the, and then of all things, they gave us lays, thanking us. I don't know why, but I guess they are married, and it was really a sweet occasion, and that was a big tent set up for the reception after the wedding. And then there's a couple there, and this man is a pharmacist. His wife is a nurse. She's the head nurse at a hospital near there. And VJ had converted this couple, I believe, and they were nice to invite us into their home for a meal. And nothing like a rocking chair after a good meal. None of the rest of us got a chance. No, I'm just kidding. But that was a really comfortable rocking chair, and Andrew obviously enjoyed it as well. Also, while we were there, there were several baptisms on this occasion as well. And that's always exciting to see those. And these are people who've been taught by the local preachers. I sure don't want to sound like we just came in and converted them, but these local people are teaching these men. And there's a couple here at Graymere who is really financially supporting these three village preachers and their families. They just really wouldn't have much of anything. They're doing tremendously fine work. And so it's commendable that they're being helped. And then the next village we went to is over at Coda. N. James preaches there. I mentioned church buildings. Can you imagine meeting in a place like that? And really, pictures look better than what it really is. It's a pitiful kind of situation. But they had put a tent up on the roof. This is the room where the church meets. I think I skipped a picture here I wanted to show you. Well, we were up on the roof. They set up this kind of awning tent, and we did have a meeting up there, and each of us had opportunity to speak. And then we came down from the roof, and there were six or seven who were baptized there. By the way, you may see a date. It says 2011. I just had the wrong date on my camera. This was this year, but you may see that in several of these pictures. But again, this was a rather elderly lady and just had a hard time crawling into this baptistry, but she wanted to be baptized into Christ. And there were several others who were baptized on that occasion. Then the next day, after that at least, we were on our way to Sulipet, which is the rocket center of India. We don't really see any. It's kind of... but we did see some sights as we came along. You just kind of a typical sight you see at times. See, that's a checkpoint. As you go from one state to another in India, like we had been in Tamil Nadu, we were going up to Andhra Pradesh, but you have to stop and register and pay a fee to go from one state to another. So we had stopped here for that purpose when these girls went by with their water jugs. We finally got to where Dana Jaya, the preacher there, is. And this is another work that Charles Thigpen really helped get started, this children's home there. In fact, it has been named now the Charles Thigpen Children's Home. That's so appropriate. A number of years ago, Graymere was responsible for building this, but through Charles's influence. Some individuals here likewise added on to that building for these children. And Linda and Jackie had a garage sale and bought this big water tank, and they pay for water to be put into it on a regular basis for these children in the surrounding area. These are some of the children that are there. Some of them are orphans. Some of them are one parent. Some of these children have parents who are migrant workers, and if the children went with their parents, they'd never get an education. so they have an opportunity to be here and get an education. That's cooking facilities. Right now, this is where they're living. They do have bunk beds now, and Sister Hill, I think, got some blankets for them a few years ago. But it's a problem because the government is now saying that the girls and the boys can't, as the children are growing up, can't be in the same area. So something's got to be done. But while we were there, both Jonathan and Andrew had an opportunity to sing with and teach Bible lessons to the children. And that's a good time when that happens. But these are sweet children. They kind of pull at your heartstrings living in the condition they do. But they seemed happy. And I think as much as possible they are well taken care of in this place. So it's a good work. But because of situations, there is a new home that's being built. And this is going to be a three-story building. The downstairs will be a place where they can have meetings and they can eat. The church in that area, there's a new congregation, is going to meet on the second floor. The boys will live on the third floor. And then there's a place across the street where the girls will be. But they still need about $45,000 in order to complete that. And we were wondering, how in the world is that going to happen? That's so much money. And Larry Noakes, the man I showed you his picture from Arkansas, sent an email just the other day. And Larry's fairly well off, a good businessman. And he has friends in the business world. And he said, we're going to raise the money to finish that. And so even since this picture was taken, they've started putting up the walls. And thanks to Brother Larry Noakes and others, that building, Lord willing, will be completed, and the children will move out to this new facility. That evening, it was Wednesday evening, we came back to the building here. This is a fairly new building in Sulipet, where Danajaya is the preacher. He saved material. He got used beams, used doors, used windows, and he just accumulated them for several years, and finally they were able to build this building. And they had been driven out time after time from places where they had tried to rent, so it's great. And this is the girl, this Indian girl, that some of you have helped go to school. She's the one who was beaten by her parents when she obeyed the gospel. I don't mean they just spanked her. They beat her, kicked her. She ran away from home. You know, many of you know this story. And the parents threatened to have the police put Danajaya, the preacher, in jail. He didn't know where she was. She was staying with some friends. Finally, the parents found her. They put her under house arrest. But now she is coming to worship. And that package or that book she has in her hand, her parents cannot read. They think it's her school books. It's really she has photocopied the Bible. And she carries her Bible with her. They think it's her school book. But she's now in master's. Some of you helped her go to college. And now she's working on a master's degree in physics. She's a smart girl. And her goal is to work with the Space Center there in Sulipet. But she has expressed time and again appreciation to you for helping her be able to go to school. And she's a very faithful Christian girl. Her sister, who was with her, also is married now and moved to another city. Danajaya and his wife invited us to their house to have a meal. We enjoyed that. And then later we went out to a place called Pandora. The Woodson Chapel congregation built this building. We'd always met in just a really primitive thatched roof kind of place. And Linda encouraged the brethren there at Woodson Chapel to build this building, and so they now have a nice place to meet. This is Suresh, another excellent gospel preacher. He had invited us into his home, and he had a new motorcycle that Sister Jackie Hill helped him. She just basically bought it for him, and he just uses that to travel all around preaching. But they also have a new church building there. They've been working on it for several years and finally have completed it. And Jonathan spoke on that occasion. Andrew did also. But we had a little meeting while we were there in their new building. Then we moved on to Nellore, which was to the north. Mohan is the large fellow in the checkered shirt. He's the preacher there. This is his family, his mother and father, his wife. And the girl standing next to Mohan is the girl that we mentioned to many of you, who was in college. And there was a three-wheeler fellow that would pick her up every day and take her to college. And one day he just kidnapped her. And they didn't know where she was for weeks. And they didn't know they'd ever get her back. And they had to bribe the police. Bribery is a big thing in India. But even to get the police involved, they had to pay a tremendous sum of money. But after several weeks, they did finally find the child and got her back home. But she moved up to Bombay for a while and lived there. But she's back home now. But fine young lady. And she was baptized while we were there on this particular occasion. But that's Mohan's family in Nellore. One of the works that they do in that city is to go out to what's called the circus village. And these are people who work in the circus. Now, it's not a circus like you think of Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey. It's a very, very primitive kind of affair. But these very, very poor people live in this village. But Mohan goes out on a weekly basis and teaches and works with them. And we were having a meeting out there. Several of us spoke that night. And then we were able to give out Bibles. So many had given us money. I think I had $1,000 for Bibles in this trip. And so we were able to really give a lot of people money for Bibles. And can you see on the face of the little boy that's walking away, the expression on his face? He has a Bible. Now, that doesn't seem like such a great thing to us. We all have Bibles, a lot of them. But he's clutching that Bible. Some of them have never had a Bible before. And some of these Bibles, or maybe all of these, were being provided by Prasanthi, the preacher's wife. She's the one that has the sewing center, and some of you have helped her get sewing machines. And she teaches the women in the area, many of them Hindus and Muslims as well as others. And then after she teaches them each day, she has a Bible class with them. And there have been a number have been converted as a result of her work. And then what little she makes off of that, she puts it right back into buying Bibles and helping others with it. Quite a family. Some of the Bibles that we had on that occasion. And this was passing out saris also to these poor. This is a poor widow that's there that Linda was giving a sari to. And again, as Jackie was giving this lady a sorry, you can see the expression on her face. These are poor people. Sunday morning, it included a visit to three businesses. Now, what are the businesses? Well, Brother and Sister Brazelton's daughter came up with the idea, I believe, of giving one of the ladies in the church $300, I think it was. And with that $300, they could start a business to help the family financially. And once they got the business going and they made $300, they were to give that $300 back and somebody else would take it. And they would start a business. And Linda and Jackie have worked with these ladies. And so we were visiting some of these Christian ladies who had started businesses. And one of them had already made her $300 and was giving it back. But now you'd be interested in the businesses they have. Two of the businesses were goat businesses, and one of them was a dairy cow. This is the house they lived in. It looks better on the outside than it did on the inside, I tell you. Here are two of those businesses. They're raising goats, and they get milk, and they can sell these goats and raise them. So they're helping with the family finances this way. And here was the cows, the milk cows that they had gotten to help in their business. So that's really a fine work that Sandra Brazelton helped get started and that Linda and Jackie are involved in also. Saturday, we had a meeting back at the church building. They had a nice place to meet, but they were driven out of that. They lived in upstairs. They had the church there also, or they lived downstairs and the church met upstairs. But they were driven out. So now they're meeting in pretty primitive kind of setting. Prasanthi, the wife, has her sewing classes there during the week. They meet there for worship on the Lord's Day and Wednesdays. This was Saturday. We had an opportunity for several of us to preach on that occasion. Sunday morning, it was hot. I'd forgotten what it was like to preach without air conditioning, but it was hot. And they had a big crowd there that just even spilled outside of the building. But it was good. That man there was standing beside me, by the way. Obviously, I don't have the touch. The man there that's standing beside me is a doctor, Prasant. He takes off from his profession, and sometime he'll go with us for a week and translate, lead singing, teach, help us in so many different ways. But it's just impressive that this Christian doctor will take his time away from his practice to travel with us sometime and help us. And he did on that occasion. And again, Mohan, this was Sunday morning. And while we were there, there were 9 who were baptized on that occasion. 38 total on the whole trip that I know of that were baptized, obeyed the gospel. But these are several who were baptized there. The girl on the, gets turned around the left, that's Mohan's daughter, the one that had been kidnapped. And this is where she was being baptized. Wherever they can find a place to baptize, they do it. This was just a pond, not the cleanest place I've ever seen. But these people were, Anusha is her name. And there were others who were baptized. And it really is moving. But again, Mohan's family, and there's the girl that had been kidnapped and thankfully is back home. We were really surprised. We got back to Chennai, and Peter Solomon came. This was the first time he had gotten out since he'd been in the hospital. And he wanted to get out, but he did come to the hotel where we were staying to visit with us. And we enjoyed that. And then his daughter and 2 other preachers that work with him came. And this was the last time we were going to see them before we left Chennai. So it was nice of them to come. We went down to Pondicherry, which is south of Chennai, a several-hour drive. This is Brother Single Ryan and his son and daughter and wife. Pondicherry is in the area of the country that was settled by the French, so it's a little bit different. The English were in the vast majority, but the French had this part of India. But they have a good work going on down there. They're trying to get a church building built. They've run out of funds for that. There'll be a second floor hopefully someday where the church will meet there. They'll be able to live downstairs. And this is where the church is meeting now, but it will hopefully eventually be their living quarters. But we had a meeting there while we were in Pondicherry that night. Enjoyed being with them. Oh, this was great. We'd been eating Indian food. I don't like curry, but everything has curry in it in India. And we got to the airport. We had to get up about 2 o'clock in the morning to catch our flight to go up to Hubli. And we found a Krispy Kreme donut place. India is really making progress. And so we had that on the way while we were in the airport. Finally, we got to Hubli. This is Joel Providas and his wife, Carmela. And they're the ones that Jonathan had told you about who were living in about a 9x9, 10x10 room for several years because they'd been driven out of their house. So several of you gave considerable sums of money. I could call some names, and the Northview congregation really put a lot into it. And they're now supporting him well. And so they finally got their house built. And to tell you the truth, I was really shocked. It's a nice place. And they made a big deal out of it that day and invited the friends and people to come in. And it's on property where the church building is also. But a lot of people came and neighbors. But before we did anything, they had a scripture reading. They sang hymns and they prayed and then started going into the house. And so we had a ribbon cutting and went into the house, and it really is nice. And people started pouring in. And then we were going to go into another room. They had another ribbon. In fact, every room we went in, they had stretched a ribbon, and we had a prayer, we had a scripture reading, we had a song for every single room in that house. Now, I don't know, I've never seen that done in this country, but they were so thankful to have that. And so each of us got to cut a ribbon. So here again, we're in the kitchen now. Now, that is an appropriate place to pray. We were thankful to get, and it's going to be a nice kitchen. They praying there. And then Joel was speaking to the people, members of the church, of two different congregations he works with, thanking them for their support. And then one of the members of the congregation got up, and he was saying how happy the members of the church there were that Joel and his family could have a place to live that was theirs. And there was no jealousy. They were just delighted that they had a nice house to live in, and expressed how they wished they could have done it. They couldn't. They were just too poor. But anyway, Joel has a nice house, and he'll use it well. This is Nagabushnam, who helped them build the house, kind of oversaw it. This man's amazing. Nagabushnam has a school. He trained Joel, the preacher here. Then he picked his wife out for him. And then he married them. And then he helped them build this house. He's built 60 church buildings. Now, when I say church buildings, it's church buildings without walls. They'll lay, if a congregation or a group of Christians can find a piece of land, then Nagabushnam and some he's worked with will lay down a concrete slab, and they'll put some pillars up, and they'll put a roof on it. And then as the congregation grows and is able to, they put the walls up themselves. But he's done that for 60 different places. He helped build the church building there in Jubilee. So he was quite an interesting fellow. But different rooms in the house. They don't have closets. They'll have a shelf and a little indention. The bathroom, very nice tile. It looks extravagant maybe that there's marble. Marble is cheap in India. So most houses you go in, they have a lot of marble. But it's not really expensive like we think of it. But it is a nice place. And it's interesting, the baptistry is right there in front of the house. So you can step off of the porch into the baptistry. I don't think I've ever seen another house with a baptistry. But that one has one. And it's a nice, nice house. And then they had a big meal, a tent set up for all the people who came that day. And people enjoyed that. I was standing on top of the house, looking back at the church building. Here's the big tent. Over there on the side, you see some people washing dishes, if you want to call it that. I'm glad we went somewhere else to eat. In fact, we went to Kentucky Fried Chicken. Nobody accused me of being Colonel. That night, I think this was, after 8 o'clock at night, we were having a meeting, and they stayed, and we had a good service that night as well. And then, again, I just wanted to show you something more about the Bibles that were provided by so many different people that were being distributed in Jubilee from generous contributions, money that people gave me. A lot of Bibles we were able to give out. Then, when we were leaving Jubilee, we were going to Goa. And interesting, as you travel in India, no telling what you're going to see. Monkeys all along the way. Traffic scares you to death. But now we're in Goa. Goa was settled by the Portuguese, by the way. Charles Thigpen sent J. Rao, the preacher there, to Goa when he was just a young man. The boy standing here, I can remember when he was born and still see him in a little hammock. And he met us and brought us to the hotel. But we enjoyed getting to be with them while we were there, where the church building is. And we had meetings there while we were in Goa. Good church going on there. It's been going on a long time. But finally, we started home. That was a happy day. So finally got back. But now, let me just mention again, more Bibles. I just want to emphasize this because so many gave the money for it. This is Jaba Kumar giving out Bibles and various other places, and the people are delighted to get it. But I'd close with this thought. And thank you for being so patient with me. I'm sorry I ran over a little, but really the church doesn't exist just to entertain the saved. It exists to train disciples to glorify God and reach the lost. And I think that's what Graymere's doing, as well as these other congregations. I know it's what you're doing. As you send people to India and you underwrite that work, seeking and saving the lost. It's a great work. God bless you for doing it. I hope you'll keep it up for many years yet to come. And I'm so grateful that you allow me to go and be a part of that. And I was especially blessed to be with Andrew and Jonathan on this trip. I'm glad they went. And I hope they'll, as I get to be old Colonel Sanders, I hope these young men will carry on this work for a long time. Of course, when we go, we extend the Lord's invitation. And it's His invitation. He's inviting men wherever it is in this world, men and women, to come to Him. And that same thing is happening here. And we extend that invitation tonight. If there are those who have not yet obeyed the gospel, you need to do it. Be a part of a great work like this of helping to save others. Someone has said the fruit of a Christian is another Christian, and you can bear fruit, but you have to be a Christian yourself. If you believe in Jesus, you're ready to confess Him, repent of your sins, be buried with Him in baptism, wouldn't this be the great night to do it? Or to come back? Would you come? As together we stand and as we sing.